Yeah, I got to go over and talk to the meeting on the Central Arizona Dental Society.
Why are you doing it?
Because we're doing a show on AET Channel 8.
Oh, God.
Should we do a test?
Ask a dentist.
Oh, right. For God's sake.
God, that sounds horrible.
You're doing that on Channel 8?
I wouldn't watch that if I had.
Why are you trying to see if you can break their record low ratings and go lower?
It's going to be
a sleep
show.
It is not going to be a huge show. What
it's
are you talking about?
People with sleep disorders.
Sleep apnea hour.
How can that be a huge show? Ask a dentist.
Channel, you know how many people have dental problems?
Ask a dentist.
A lot. I went to the state fair.
Yeah. See, there you go.
You should put that on right after you and your colon.
Did we talk about my trip to the state fair?
Yeah, with the funnel cake, the person with the
yes.
the five people, the
five and five
family of five funnel cake.
I can't even remember the last time I had a piece of a funnel cake. I think it's been like 2 years.
Carrie's a funnel
that
caker.
Really
she
good.
Likes them because she's from the Midwest.
Starving. I love funnel cakes.
You cannot have any of that stuff. You guys got to stop. You know how much? You know what my weight loss total is now?
I have no idea.
Today we hit a milestone.
And?
Since July? 40.
40? What? 40?
No
pounds?
Shit.
Six to go.
What are you doing?
Where's six going to come from?
I don't know.
Just
cut
six
off his right
pounds.
Arm?
Mm-hmm. Just 6 more pounds?
Yeah, I started at 226. I'm at 186. And so I got to go. We've decided we're going to go to 180 and then
wait,
level
who's
up.
Who's this we thing?
Me and my nutritionist.
Oh. Me and
my
colon. You and your colon.
Maybe.
Yes.
When it gets to 179, we're all going out for pizza again.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, then I'm going to have one of those 3-pound burritos that are on the La Tolteca board.
Nice.
Now, when a woman sometimes loses weight, she gets concerned because her breast size goes down.
That's
yes.
Nice.
Have you noticed any critical mass
you know what?
Lost in certain areas?
It hasn't, and if it had just gone in half, I'd be at 180 now. But nothing has happened.
The key is, though, when people are fat and when they lose weight, they can finally see it for the first time in years.
Plus, it looks larger
it's
because
gross.
It's true, though.
Do you guys own mirrors?
Plus, it looks larger because it's in relationship to all the other surrounding it.
That's
wow.
True.
You know.
That's all true. That's why have you? Or,
that's all true.
Did
that's
you have to lose?
Did you go by that philosophy? Some guys want to? They only date girls with small hands so that their looks bigger.
So I'm big in midgets.
That's the fourth grade. Wow.
Ouch.
Oh, ouch.
Okay, so
Michael Jackson's theory.
Losing weight when
yes,
this upsets women more than anything, and it's happened to me a couple of times lately, and I don't know how to take it, but somebody will go, "You look great. Have you lost weight?"
I know.
Yeah, like you were fat
used
before.
To be, mm-hmm.
God damn, you were huge. I was at a charity function the other day, and this woman would not let it go. 5 times she says to me, "No, you've lost weight." Finally I go, "Yep, I did. I lost about 20 pounds.
Yeah. Carrie, why don't you do the comeback? "No, I haven't lost weight. Have you gained weight?"
Yeah, really. You should have said
you
that.
Found it. Wow.
Yeah, there is some sort of implication there.
There
that
totally is.
That
and this woman, by the
fat.
Way, was about twice my size.
No,
so I kind of wanted to say.
And a regular listener to the show, by the way.
Oops.
Yeah. Or how about saying.
She was just hopeful.
Yeah, I lost 20 pounds, and I can see where they went.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I lost them. I can see you found them.
Yeah, there you go.
Was this at a charity thing where everybody was drunk?
No, nobody was drunk at this one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You go to a lot of charity deals.
You have no idea.
Really?
Really.
Why? Because you're a charitable
give
person.
Community.
Give to the community.
Yeah,
that can't be it.
He's a giver.
It's for the kids.
I am a giver.
He's a giver.
He's a giver.
All about everybody else.
No,
really?
Those stuffy events, though? Kind of like a high society.
Most
oh,
of them
yeah,
are.
I hate them.
I don't do the really stuffy
them.
Ones.
Yeah, I
no, I don't. Yeah. They got to be fun.
I get contacted by a lot of these to come and host them. And you know, of course, it's a charity, so you'll do it for – we're a nonprofit, so you'll do it for nothing. Right?
Oh, sure.
I'm like, well, you know, I'm not a nonprofit right now. But,
right.
And
someday
we'll
I hope
get
to be,
Mark.
But
–
and that's pretty
oh,
much
yeah,
at the wall
dinner.
Because I've seen where they spend their money.
Oh, that's so weak.
And it
yeah.
really – I won't mention the charity, but it's one – it's at the top of one we've all heard.
Fight Night?
No.
Oh.
I've done that one, though. But I sat in their planning deal
don't mention it.
The week before.
Hardball? That was it.
I sat in the meeting planning the week before as they said they beat me up on my little fee, little mm-hmm. pittance. And then they were trying to debate to cover the walls at the Phoenician Ballroom. Should we do it in real leather or that fake suede-y kind of stuff?
Yeah,
one's $18,000 and one's $40,000.
Yeah. Well, it's all about going, it's all about the charity.
And I'm sitting there going, really? And you guys had a problem with my little pittance that I asked for?
Well, that's what, you know, going back to my campaigns, if you ever went to one of my dinners.
Dinner sucked.
Bad food.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like sandwiches. Because here's the deal. We're trying to raise money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not have a really showy event here.
Right.
We're serious. So if you're serious, let's not spend it all on the charity. I heard that at least one prominent charity in town was under investigation for that very thing, by the
that's
way.
Too bad.
Don't know if that's true or not.
Wow.
But so I heard. Yeah, the money needs to go to the charity. That's
yeah, what
right.
a concept.
Funny concept.
Well, and
yeah.
you can ask those numbers, and you should if you ever decide to give to somebody. You say how much of your money actually goes to
yes.
Right, if they're doing like 20% overhead, that's
or,
a problem.
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
if you're doing like 5% or under, you're in good shape.
Oh, yeah.
5%.
You know. I know
what. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that like the United Way guy? What's he make a year?
Oh, yeah.
The CEO of that is like $4 million bucks
a
year.
The Red Cross lady was making so much.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Well, I'm not, you know, it depends. You got to look at what they do
how much they bring in.
And how much they bring in, because it's really all about the fundraising.
Yeah, you bring in $600 million. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give you
six.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, they should be incentivized.
Yeah, be like a performer. I mean, if you can fill up. You know, the football stadium out in Glendale with 80,000 people, you should make more than somebody who's filling up the Dodge Theater.
Yeah. Hey, you know who kids, I have a 14-year-old, kids that age really think is funny, and, you know, I'm trying to share and laugh along and, you know, relate to my child, and I just think the guy is not funny in the least, is Dane Cook.
Wow.
What is the story with him? Is he funny?
No.
Because I'm missing it.
You know...
I mean, really unfunny to me. And they're howling. It's weird to see kids, you know, who are smart kids, and they're howling.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah. Don't think he's funny?
He's a joke stealer, too, isn't he?
Oh, he's a huge joke stealer.
Ooh.
Well, I wish I would have bought him. About a year ago, I was walking through an airport.
The mind of Dane Cook and Mencia.
And Robin Williams. Those are the two three. About a year ago, I was walking through an airport, and I saw a Mad magazine with a caricature of Dane Cook, and it said, A Day in the Life of Dane Cook, and I picked it up. I grew up on Mad magazine. It was the funniest thing. I'm so pissed I didn't buy it. It's like a
just read
set
it.
Alarm for 7 to watch Comedy Channel to start stealing material. Stumble as I get out of bed, realize that could be a bit. You know, he's always falling around.
Right. Yeah, just, not funny.
I don't get it.
But he fills arenas. That's why I thought of him. A comedian filling an arena.
Twilight
so
sells
unusual.
Books.
His stepbrother embezzled $6 million from him.
Oh, really?
And I saw on this blog, this comedy blog, a guy goes, I don't know what's sadder, that your stepbrother would do that, or that Dane Cook's got $6 million that he didn't miss.
That's funny. Okay, do you have a question for us?
Yeah, absolutely, I've got a question. Okay, here it is.
The court is
question. In the spirit of, it's Thanksgiving, we have a lot to be thankful for.
It is?
Not quite Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But,
I thought I missed it.
We're in the season.
We're in the window.
Yes.
Grant's his hunger affected his memory.
Yes. What did I miss?
I
had a protein shake.
All right, here it is.
I threw some turkey in it, though.
You have to give up one of the following things for a year. Television, internet, music, cell phone.
Ooh, wow. Okay, let me write this down.
I got it.
Television... Internet.
And by internet, I'm talking about...
Everything.
Everything.
Music.
By cell phone, I'm talking about everything. Music.
Yeah. That, you know, that's actually... What is sports on TV, too? You can't watch TV on sports? Sports on TV?
Wow.
Can't watch it on TV.
Yes, period.
Yeah, you don't... You
can't do it.
They're not in your house.
Wow.
If you come into Marley's, you...
I can't watch it.
You actually can't
see them. They're black.
So I've got to go... Any sports, I got to see live.
Yeah, wow. if you give up TV, you can still... Now, you can still go on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And all that.
Oh, no, you can see it on the internet.
No, but you can't watch... Yeah,
oh, come
what?
On. But now you're putting restrictions on
Spirit
the internet.
Spirit of the law.
Internet.
Okay.
Internet's okay.
All right, we'll do it, because you can't watch a lot.
I'm going to say... for me, I'm going to say TV.
All right.
I get rid of TV, yeah.
Grant's out of TV.
TV, cell phone, internet,
and
music.
Music.
Yeah.
I could give up music. That wouldn't hurt me.
Oh, my
God.
TV.
Your shit's all from the 70s anyway.
I'm not a...
Are you finally getting tired of ABBA?
Todd Rundgren called, and his only fan just gave him up for the year.
No, but, yeah, if I could watch TV on the internet, then I could give up TV. And, you know, if you're looking at the generational thing, people under 25, TV is no longer a factor for them.
Because they're watching Hulu and
Exactly. And I can't, you know, like NFL Sunday tickets on direct on online now. You can buy the package.
Really?
So,
yep. Okay.
See, Terry, I'm not
always the
20.
Longest answer in the group. TV.
Yes. TV.
Yeah, yeah. Without a doubt.
No curve.
Music would be the hardest.
Yeah, I know. And it's not.
Couldn't do it.
I'm going to give up music.
Wow, two musics.
I mean, I still got music in my head. I still got the songs. But I can't live without TV.
Yeah, I agree. TV's part of your life.
I wish I could give up cell phone, but you can't.
You know what?
I'd love to give up a cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what song I've sang every morning for the, well, not every, 5 out of the last 7 mornings?
I love you.
Oh, 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 it's magic.
Wow.
Oh,
you know.
Wow.
Not that one, but the one by Selena Gomez. Yes, because I've been taking my daughter to kindergarten. And we have to listen to Selena Gomez sing that every day. And we blast it out, too.
You know what?
You see us during another road.
I've got Sherry Baby. Oh. You know the Jersey Boy Sherry Baby?
Yeah.
That's in my head because the kindergartners are doing that in the variety show.
I don't know if you know this, but it's actually the Four Seasons do that.
Well, but the Jersey Boy soundtrack, that's all I know.
But
I don't know.
Having heard those two stories, would you both like to reconsider?
I broke 5 speeding laws to get down here for this.
I know. Carrie's a little tell people she was almost killed about 15 minutes ago, so she's a little shaken up.
Anyway, yeah.
Someone almost T-boned you? Someone almost T-boned you?
Yes.
Wow.
I know it. That whole light rail thing had this guy really...
Yeah,
he did
people
the,
were crazy.
And they saw the train coming, and then he went...
If you would have been hit by that guy, would you have called Phillips and Associates?
She would have had a dilemma between me and Jeff Phillips.
There's a real moral choice there.
There really is.
That's next week's question. Yeah. Give me a week to think about it.
Who are you going to call?
Attorney, would you call Jeff Phillips or Grant Woods?
Who are you going to call?
Think about this one all week. Careful. Right. Don't answer
this,
too quickly.
This compliment, Grant. I can't think of any other attorney I would call in this state if I needed an attorney.
Thank you very much.
There's a couple I think are on your level.
What?
But no, like Mike Manning, I think, is a pretty good attorney.
Okay. Yeah.
Who is it?
So?
What?
No, I think he's a pretty good attorney.
Yeah, he is.
Let's, for the purposes of this show, though, let's go with Grant.
Are you on the Mike Manning show next week?
No, no, no.
There is no equal to Grant Woods.
Thank you.
By the way,
Mesa Zone.
Yo.
Carrie, you missed the champ last week.
Mesa.
Yeah, Julio Cesar Chavez in person.
Yeah.
Campeones.
Yeah. I think you guys are just trying to ditch me by changing location and time about 15 minutes before I'm supposed to be there, and that's fine.
No.
You want me to find you?
The champ.
Scavenger hunt. Leave
the champ.
For me.
88, no.
You would have stuck
we'll be
out.
In Chandler today.
You would have stuck out last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't have any tattoos.
No.
Blonde. Tall, thin blonde. Not quite as fat as she used
I
to
love
be.
Tall and thin. That is the best characterization I've heard of myself ever. Never heard it before,
have
by the way.
Have you lost weight, by the way?
I think you have lost weight.
Yes.
Carrie, Grant got me to make my once-a-decade trip to Mesa. It was great.
Wasn't it fun?
Yeah. Wow.
Mesa's great.
You got me to Chandler, I think, in the 90s for Waito's Taco Shop.
Come on, man.
Oh, my
now,
God.
Now, did you happen Waito's to read my little
yes, I did.
Article
going back
in the
to the
paper
Valley.
Yesterday?
Yeah. A trip down memory lane.
Good. You guys obviously didn't, so feel free to read the Republic.
And yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
I actually read it
on Facebook.
You know, I don't have it here, but I had lots of emails on it, and they were in two categories. One was kind of the trip down memory lane deal, remember this, remember that, and that was cool. And the others, though, were more, here's how we got where we are today, the kind of the lack of planning and the boom or bust mentality around here and little municipalities just popping up everywhere, which is kind of absurd, really, and kind of anti-planning when you get right down to it. I mean, if you go to the West Valley now, there's like... what, 15 towns out there now? I mean, I don't know.
Anthem up in the North Valley.
Everybody's got their own, but they all got their own police departments and their own this, their own that. It's not the greatest system we got here. So, you know, hopefully we will not. The whole point was not to just have a trip down memory lane, but, okay, that was great. And it was, I mean, Mesa was a great place to grow up. The Valley was a great place to grow up. But... those days are over, so we got to move on here. Now the question is, what's it going to be like? Okay, that was a long time ago. That was 40 years ago. What's it going to be like 40 years from now? And if people 40 years ago, if they would have known, they had really unlimited opportunity coming their way here to plan a metropolitan area, whatever you wanted. Everybody was coming. Okay, people are going to get rich. You're going to quintuple in growth. It's going to be fantastic. What do you want? And some people did that, and frankly, most people did not do that. Mostly, it was one corner at a time, one subdivision at a time, and then you wake up, and shocking to younger people how fast time goes by, but you wake up and 20 years is gone. I mean, one thing that I said today, and Carrie heard these speeches, I remember going around, looking back, and I don't really know why I was saying that in all these speeches. It really had nothing to do with my job, but for a long period of time, in every speech, I was talking about we have to start planning for 20 years from now. We got to decide what do we want the valley to look like. Where, what are the challenges going to be? People say we don't want to be another Los Angeles. Okay, what do we want to be? Because as I've said 1,000 times, we're either going to get better, or we're going to get worse. We're not going to be the same. And now, what happened? Now it's been 20 years.
I know.
Doesn't seem possible, but it is, and we are what we are. So hopefully we can focus some here. And we talked last week about how catastrophic the budget situation is here. We're going to have to prioritize what we want. I hope we prioritize public education and not only stabilize that, but raise it up. We'll see. I don't know what we're going to do. But if we do nothing and we continue to not plan and just go year to year to year just trying to get by or politicians just trying to get reelected, then I really do believe the Valley's not going to be so great 20 years from now.
Is there a city that we should look to as a model of, wow, there's somebody that did it right?
Well, there's a lot of pretty neat cities around the country. There's several of them that have kind of taken over where people want to go there. Everybody's heading there. And they definitely – I'm not saying we should do what they did, but we should – They did have an image of what they wanted to be. Austin, Portland. There's a lot of cities around the country that are thriving, doing really well. And I think, Portland's interesting because they really put a limit on growth.
They put a line around the city.
Yeah, they did.
Can't go outside this line.
They basically said, this is the way it's going to be. Now, I'm not in favor of that. But I give them credit. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. And now they've got a really dynamic place. So, again, we rarely even have those discussions around here. I don't know. Will we? I don't know.
No, probably not. Because I remember I moved here 20 years ago in 1999.
Right.
And the one thing I always kept hearing from people when I moved here is, we don't want to become another Los Angeles.
Heard it 100 times, yeah.
You know what? We are another Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
We don't have an ocean.
We don't have
worse.
An ocean.
That sucks.
We have Big Surf, but we don't have enough.
Oh, God.
Did.
But that inhibited growth in L.A. to the west.
Because L.A.'s landlocked over there. They can only go so far. And it's like,
right. But, for example, transportation. One of the reasons I moved to Phoenix from the East Valley is because I was working down here. My kids are going to – some of them were going to school down here. And all of a sudden I started looking at my watch going, hey, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah. If I don't leave right now – then I'm screwed.
Seven.
I might as well wait till 6:30 or so. Well, now, we all drove out to Mesa. You leave at 3 o'clock, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I thought about that today as I was leaving my house at 3 to come down here for a 5 o'clock. You have to kind of plan that way.
You got to plan.
One little screw up. And
well, that's the problem. So we have become L.A. in the transportation side. But now, the other problems were L.A., crime, smog, and environmental problems, gangs, public education, no good. Have we followed down those paths? Some areas we have.
I would move that Los Angeles is actually ahead of us in transportation because I go there, I actually ride public transit. I know I'm one of the few.
You are.
No, I'm actually not.
Have you seen that log jam there? 90 million cars stuck?
No, I know there is, but they now have an extensive rail system in Los Angeles that we don't have because they started building it earlier.
They got too many people and they're a mess. But, we're getting to be a mess.
Economically is where I'd like to see us model ourselves after other places.
Sure.
So that we're not talking about us being, after our last week's show,
that's right.
Then they came out and said, the 10 states that are really. And
did you see that?
Right.
We were second.
Yeah.
Behind California.
Yeah. And, so we have to start, it's just the entitlement situation in California is out of control. I don't see how they're ever...
They're not going to. They're not going to get out of
they
it.
They can't.
It's a huge mess. That's an opportunity for us. Because of our proximity, people, if we set it up right, people will want to bring... We got to make sure it's the kind of businesses we want. Good jobs, we can get them here. But we're going to have to set up a climate where... And education is part of that. No one's going to move here if they think their kids can't go to the public schools. Or we don't have good universities. It's not going to happen. So we have to build that up, and we have to create a business environment where people are incentivized to bring good businesses here. We got to have a tax structure that makes sense, but also doesn't punish people for their success. Yeah. And I don't know. See, that's a huge mistake. We've talked about in New York and Michigan, other states, and there's a dozen states right now. They're looking at a millionaire's tax on the state tax,
and watch people
or
flee.
Less, and people will just flat out leave. Well, look at California. If they go that way, right next door is Nevada, no tax. Well, let me think. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go there.
Everybody goes to Florida, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Texas.
I saw that Texas is still 1,000 people a day moving to Texas.
Well, that no income tax is an incentive there. You know,
the only problem is you have to live in Texas. So that's
the other incentive in Florida is that you can shop for groceries without your shirt on.
Yeah. Plus, it's God's waiting room,
even
too.
Shoes.
So. And on that note, I'm leaving, gentlemen.
Oh, yes. You have to go, don't you?
Yes, I do. Unfortunately.
Okay. Yes. Light rail somewhere?
Actually not, no.
Okay.
I wish I could
dentist.
Take light rail.
Thank you for that. God.
We knew that.
Carrie's going to start riding light rail now.
Yes.
That experience.
Yeah. When the cars hit the trains. Not much happens.
No.
To the cars, yes. To the trains, no.
No.
So.
Okay, off to light rail. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Mr. Klotz is leaving us. We didn't get to talk football with Steve, who is the expert.
Oh, that's all right. We'll do it next week.
Hold it. Listen to the Woody, and then you can do it.
Give us the Wolverine upcap.
Yeah.
Rich,
how they did.
I hope you enjoy your
job. We don't care about that.
Belichick.
No one cares about Michigan. We're going to get to that.
Oh.
But first, hold the Woody. Carrie, you got the Woody?
Got him.
Are you ready?
You.
We're ready.
This week's Woody. Belichick was second. We had two football nominees.
That was a hell of a call.
This week's Woody goes to Tennessee Titans owner Bud Adams.
Do we need to flip you off here?
Yeah, okay. The guy's 86 years old, so you say we should cut him some slack. Hell no. All the more reason he should know better. Sitting up in his box as his team creamed the hapless Buffalo Bills 41-17, the elder statesman of the Adams family suddenly went off on the Buffalo fans and started flipping them off wildly. First one hand, then the other, then both hands. He could do it all. Maybe Bud Adams had a few too many Sam Adams at halftime. I don't know. I can see going a little nuts being in Buffalo watching the Bills. What was with the crazed obscene jester mania? That town hasn't seen that many birds since Alfred Hitchcock premiered his movie there in the 60s. The sight of a grown man, 86, reportedly giving the finger to an entire stadium of people who already have had it bad enough just being from Buffalo was really pathetic. Today, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell fined Adams $250,000 for his nuttiness. That's about $5,000 per bird, so even Buddy Boy has to feel that one. Hand it to Adams. He makes our own hoopster, Richie Rich, look demure. Arizonans have complained for years that our own Mr. B is boring. I will take boring over idiotic any day. So let's make old Bud happy. 86 years old, he's got a Woody.
Wow.
And the Woody is a birdie.
Yeah, how about that?
You're right, though. He's named after two beers.
Yeah.
Bud and Adams.
Adams.
Of course he's hammered.
He had to be on something.
His defense should be, I wasn't flipping off the fans, it was flipping off T.O., and they'd throw it out of court.
Well, that's true. That's true. Now, what about the call?
The call? I understand.
Don't defend it.
I would have punted.
Of course! This is the stupidest call in history!
But, no, what was stupid
was... The hell is wrong with him?
No, the clock management ahead of that. Because if they had gotten a review...
No, what was stupid...
They might have gotten the yard.
No, what was stupid was going for it when... what was left? 2 minutes or something?
Yeah, just a little over 2 minutes.
Yeah, a little over 2 minutes. Punt the ball. And, you know, here's the thing. This is my little rule for sports. Maybe life. But let's just take sports. If you've got a call to make... Now... You think about all the people in sports who have ever played this sport, and none of them have ever done that. Don't do that.
Yeah. Well,
don't do that. There's a reason they don't do it, because it's friggin' stupid. Now, Wisenhunt, was he going to go for it fourth and on the 10 or say, you know, try to get in or kick the field goal in the third quarter for the Cardinals? He was going to kick the field goal, calls timeout. Okay. reasonable minds can differ, whatever. Right. You don't go for it. Put everything on the line. Kick the ball, see what happens.
Right, because after they got that and then the Colts started driving, I almost thought on that like second or third to last play when Joseph Addai brought it down almost to the goal line, I would have let him score it because then Tom Brady would have had a minute with no timeouts left. Tom probably could have driven the patch down to get a field goal.
You can't hold. You can't have enough confidence in your defense. You can hold guys to 60, 70 yards in 2 minutes.
Peyton probably would have picked him apart.
Maybe he would have,
but,
and then you lose.
But I still would have. The other call of the weekend that I found amazing was Jimmy Harbaugh. I love Jim, and I hope you're the next coach at Michigan, but that's beside the point. When he scores to make it, 48-21 over USC, and he goes for two to make it 50. You got to
That's a little weak.
He's a turd.
What the other bad call that could have backfired was when
that's good.
Maurice Drew Jones. No.
Oh yeah, when he
takes a knee at the one.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
No, because you got to have a good snap, a good hold, and a good kick that doesn't get blocked.
Stupid.
If I wish they'd have blocked that field goal and just watched that whole thing blow.
There was a similar play in a Dallas game last year or the year before where they were trying to run out the clock and the guy stopped. He didn't go into the end zone at like the 1 yard line, and it really worked out well. I think that's what Jones Drew was doing, but it worked for Jacksonville. So today it's a great play. If it doesn't,
no matter what, the New England call was just absurd.
So
okay, get out of here.
All right.
Okay, now you've done that. We have to mention, and Seth, feel free to join in. I'm going to give you the mic over here, Seth Sulka. You guys, we put on a tennis tournament, right? And we had some of the top women pros in the world here. And the tournament was all last week. It finished yesterday. We're taping on Monday. And it was a blast. We had a great time. We got to get to know some of the girls a little bit, or the women. And they're most of them are like in their early 20s. Some of it was as young as 15, 16. I think the oldest was 34. I just can't tell you how good these women are. I mean, we were all just like blown away because the worst one out there was great.
Well, I think it's interesting. Is it minor league baseball? Is it triple A baseball? Are they that close?
Closer.
I mean, these are
no closer than that. No, I think they're here's the problem. No, they're better than that. If you limited baseball, if you want to just take baseball, if you limited baseball to 100 players, then where are they at? You know, they're on the Diamondback. Ooh, I mean, they're on the.
Oh my God.
They're on someone else. No, I mean that's the problem. The girl who won is 105, and now after that win, she'll be higher than that. So, I mean, they were fantastic. And we had a crazy thing happen over the weekend, and that is the woman who won, whose name is Barbara Lipchenko. She's Russian, but or Soviet,
Barbara.
But she's actually U.S., allegedly.
like Sharapova's Russian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's doing the opposite of Sharapova. Sharapova has been here since she was two or something and claims she's Russian, which pisses everybody off. This gal, her English wasn't so good, and when she would get mad or yell or anything, it was all in Russian. Conversations with her dad were all in Russian, but she's U.S., supposedly, so I don't know about that. But anyway, okay, she's in the quarterfinals. I'm telling you, if you would have told me we would see something in sports in that tournament, they're talking that apparently it may make Sports Illustrated this week. I would have told you there's no possible way. Okay, she's in the quarterfinals. She's playing Coco Vanderway, who is Kiki Vanderway's niece.
Oh.
And
Kiki Coco.
Yeah.
Kiki and Coco.
And they split sets. So now she's going into the third set in the quarterfinals, and she wins in the tournament the next 30 games in a row to win the championship. She won 6-love.
Wow.
In the semis, she won 6-love, 6-love.
Wow.
And yesterday, she played Sasha Jones from New Zealand, who had won 4 straight tournaments, beat her 6-love, 6-love.
Wow.
It was sick. And it was
Were any of the games close, or were they like?
No. Yesterday, no. Now, this Sasha Jones is a great player. She's won 4 tournaments in a row. She's great. And we saw her the day before, played absolutely great.
Huh.
And there were 2 deuces in the
2
championship match. Yeah, she dominated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, try and think of a comparison.
Really.
Another sport comparison. I mean, to win
30 games in a row?
Well, two levels. I mean, a semi and a final. That's huge.
Yeah. And the quarter, she finished with a love. I mean, it was outrageous. So very cool. Phoenix Country Club put it on. They did a great job. Sarah Stablin, Dan Stablin out there, and it was very exciting. All the money went to the Boys and Girls Club, and so all the kids were out there one day, and they all get all the clubs get a big check, and then they get a ton of tennis equipment.
Aside from Coco, what was the composition of American players? 20%?
Yeah, something like that, I would say. 20, yeah.
What's the future?
They were from all over.
Is the future of U.S. tennis good?
Well, I don't know. That wasn't so good there because, Michonne of Washington won the doubles. And
she's like 35.
34, 35. She was the oldest player there. She's U.S. Well, Lipchenko claims she's U.S., so I guess we'll take her. Other than that, yeah, I don't know. No, it was not a deal where we're dominating. And these are the next women coming up, most of them. I mean,
what you have to look at, because certainly, like them or not, Serena and Venus have dominated the women's game for 12 years.
There, so we're okay there, but for the next generation here, not necessarily, no. You don't know.
They're all
Udan
Russians
is on this tour. Now, Udan, remember, she had the big run, and she was on this tour until she did so well there, and she moved up. So.
Well, and also the kid that a couple years ago had a good U.S. Open, and she turned out to be – she burst on the scene, and then she turned out to be Dr. J's illegitimate daughter that made a lot of news for a while.
We can leave that illegitimate part out.
Well, I don't know. Is that –
just daughter, yeah, daughter's fine. Daughter.
Mulatto?
We don't
is she
need
mulatto?
To get it. Oh, Larry David. Come on, dude.
Oh, my God.
No, she's his daughter.
Sir
right.
Kupke.
Yeah, her name's Stevenson. right. And, she played. And she won a bunch of matches. She was out there. But she withdrew. She got hurt, allegedly. She got hurt, coincidentally, when she was down, three love and getting killed.
Oh, I hate that.
I've never seen anyone retire when they're ahead.
When they're up.
I've twisted an ankle at that point before.
When they're reaching for the trophy, suddenly get hurt.
No, but you know the two women who got beat 6-love, 6-love, give them credit. I mean, they didn't pull any stunts like that. You know,
that's
obviously
tough.
They were going to
you
lose.
Want to?
Oh, it's embarrassing.
Clearly you think if I keep running into that fence, they're going to think that I blacked out.
I know.
And then I can claim a broken finger or
Okay, now, I want to know your, we got just a couple of areas left, the big news. I talked to Senator McCain today about some stuff.
And he wanted to know if you'd read the Sarah Palin book.
Well, this is my question. I'm not going to go into that, but his views of that. But what are your views of that? Sarah Palin mania, all this week, it's all we're going to be seeing. She taped her Oprah today, and the book is out on Tuesday. And apparently, from what I hear, it's okay on McCain, on John, but obviously she creams his some of his staff.
Does.
That doesn't bother me because his staff screwed her over, I believe.
Staff screwed him over.
Him too, mainly by telling him to pick her. But,
that's right.
But, you know, they went after her after the election and made all sorts of negative comments about her. And that was really pretty low rant, I think. You just don't do that. You need to be loyal. She did, I think she did a great job in the campaign, given her who she is and her background and all
they
of that.
They chose her.
Yeah, they chose her.
She
this
did
is
her.
The bottom line.
She does
they
Sarah Palin great.
It's like, you know, I'm going to go choose someone who's, you know, to go play one of these women in tennis and then beef because they didn't win if they weren't capable.
I guarantee she raised a lot of money for him.
She
went rogue. She's crazy.
The whole rogue thing.
Rogue.
Is,
I go rogue.
Yeah. Well, she's got a big following in the Republican Party.
I can't figure it out. Figure it out. I don't get it.
I think it's
Mark's a conservative.
But I think it's
would
hilarious.
Would you vote for her for president?
Oh, not at this point.
Would you consider
at any point? Wait, let's just go on a limb. At any point?
Well, yeah.
Knowing what you know now, at any point in time, is she the best one out there?
Well, I don't know. Give me 20
is everyone
years.
Else dead? No, there are other people who could run. And I could run.
3 years from now.
Jesus.
3 years from now, Obama versus Palin.
Well, I know more shit about you, so no, I'd vote for Palin ahead of you.
No. Okay, let me ask you this.
Oh, my
because you're conservative.
God.
If you, let's just say, 3 years from now, and she's only going to improve as a candidate, and her knowledge of the world will get better, I assume.
Right.
Palin versus Obama, knowing what you know now.
No, 3 years from now, no.
You would not vote
no,
for him.
No, not 3 years from now. But, I mean, what's going to – well, I don't know. It depends on what's Obama going to do over the next three years.
Who knows?
Know where all the countries are located?
Well, she won't say she's campaigned in 57 states so far.
Mm-hmm.
She won't remember that?
No.
When Obama did that?
I don't.
Well, it's how quick we forget.
YouTube
it. Watch
okay,
it
I'll
I've,
YouTube it.
I've, so far, I've campaigned in 57 states. Only two more to go.
What is the appeal of Sarah Palin? That she's just
she's
a
cute.
Natural, nice person.
No, I...
Hot for teacher.
That's
yeah,
not
that's
it,
it,
though, is it?
Well, she, you know, she has
that's
that.
Why guys like,
she has
you
that
know, these losers.
Oh, room. I'm going to tell it like it is.
Yeah.
But then what she actually says is so dumb that you can't, I mean, it's hard to get over, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So bad.
Yeah. But I think a lot of this
for
has
president,
really been
that's
media
a rough
driven.
One.
Great mayor. Excellent mayor. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe
the
even.
Priscilla.
Right. Great. Mm-hmm. Perfect. But she is so dumb.
All right, let me flip this around. Okay. Obama's the smartest guy in any room he goes into, but what had he done prior to last year? He was in the Senate for 144 days, and he wins with no experience of running a small town or being
no, he hadn't done much
the governor of Alaska.
Mm-hmm. She had as much
he
experience in
community
politics.
Things, though. I mean, he actually you know went and worked in job creation in Chicago.
Maybe he could take some of that job creation skills and get our effective unemployment rate under 17.5%.
Look, I totally agree that he doesn't have the resume that a lot of people have. But he did have charisma, and he is intelligent. She's got charisma. I'm out.
Well,
she, I mean, honest to God.
I mean.
That is the worst. I mean, can you. Oh, so bad.
Would you consider voting for her for, like, senator?
No.
Good, because you don't live in Alaska.
Right.
What about you? Would that be a possibility?
One in 100. Who's she running against, you know?
I don't know.
I mean, look at some of the senators that we have.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, she quit. She quit the job she actually has. That's really bad.
What about her running for mayor of Phoenix, if she lived here? Capable of that or no?
Capable of it?
Seriously, yeah.
Well, she doesn't have the charisma of Flash.
Come on.
Yeah, right. Being mayor is a totally different deal, though.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a lot more.
That?
You probably, if she hires some really
put
good
this
people.
Way. I think
somebody drives her around,
she
tells her north from south.
I think she is as capable, would have been as capable as a vice president as the one that we have now that was in Phoenix today, talking about how stimulus money is going to save our state.
Really? So
I think Joe Biden,
he has a great resume.
Time in the territory, yeah, he's been there since forever.
Right.
But what's he been right about? Dividing Iraq into three territories?
No, he's wrong on that.
What? Name one thing he was right about.
Well, maybe Afghanistan. We'll see. By the way, you know, we've talked a lot about that over the last couple of months, and I have to think. I know, who knows? No one knows what's going on. I think the president's going my way. Didn't look like
small
it for a long
troop.
Time. Definitely not what
modest.
The... a different plan. Don't give me this... We're not going to just
– throw bodies
can't afford
at
it. You see, it's a million.
We don't have the people.
The new numbers came in, and it said it's going to cost whatever we do over there. It will. When you start escalating here, it'll be $1 million per soldier per year.
Wow.
As long as we're over there. Now, we can't afford that. That's the other thing we have to start putting into the equation is we can't afford to just go out and waste money and waste effort. I hope you would never do that with your – young men and women anyway.
I say we send acorn workers over there in uniform.
It's a great idea, actually.
I'm all for that.
Keep that.
Yeah, get rid of
the
them.
Hidden camera people?
Mm-hmm.
Go.
No, not the hidden camera people, the actual acorn workers.
People who are on the hidden camera.
Yeah. So we'll see what the president does, but I think once he gets back from China, we'll probably
I want to hear the book report
he's
next
do
week
something
after you
different.
Read the book.
Oh, no,
are you
going to
read the book? Who's going to read the book and report back?
I have no interest in reading the book.
She's on the cover of Time.
She's everywhere. And you know what? You can tell me it's a media blitz, and you can tell me that everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
But you know what? Other than this, I mean, I played golf today with a bunch of women who, you know, are supposedly in that demographic. Not one of them mentioned it. Not one of them cares. Not one of them's going to buy the book and read it.
I think it's hilarious that all the shows on the left and Chris Matthews and MSNBC.
Oh, they're
all
over it.
And they say, she's got nothing to say, and they spend 2 hours talking about her.
Absolutely.
It's like, well, if there's nothing there, then shut up about it and move on.
The main thing about her is, I think, she's interesting. And that's what it's all about. She's interesting. Even if you don't like her, there's something weird going on with this woman. She's got a big soap opera at her own house.
Oh, yeah. There's more there.
Oh, well, yeah. Did you read that Vanity Fair thing by the...
Yeah.
Oh, God. Nightmare.
Bad.
The whole thing, she's interesting. You know, she's it's more kind of like the... She is the Lindsay Lohan of the political world right now.
But you know,
he's waiting for her to get drunk and drive up a tree.
Well, she's got skills. Lindsay Lohan has a lot of skills, but just because of other things, she's very interesting. And that doesn't mean that you want to cast her in your movie. You may want to go pick someone else. But it does mean she's interesting to talk about. Yeah. And now, at some point in time, you do lose interest in that.
I still can't figure out.
Like Lindsay Lohan, we've lost interest in her now.
I think, and I predict the same will happen with her.
Palin?
I just think it's, I mean, there's so little substance there, I think, that pretty soon it becomes boring.
I don't think she's planning to run for president.
Well, you know what?
So why did she quit?
Vitriol.
Make money.
Well, she's got legal bills that are just ridiculous now from all these ethics charges, which are unsubstantiated.
Yeah.
She's
going to cash in. And why not? I don't blame her for this. She's going to cash in. And she's going to have a lot of influence on the Republican Party.
Scary.
And you know, it's the old, how are you going to keep them down on the farm?
You know, the one thing I can say?
You don't want to go back to Alaska and hang out there when you've been the toast of New York. And
got all those new clothes.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing, though.
Is she not like that?
If it was,
yes.
If it was flipped and it was a female on the left, and this so much vitriol was going.
Right.
All these women's groups would be standing up.
Yeah, that pisses me off.
You know, the
feminist
group.
Women don't like her. Her numbers with women are way lower than her numbers with men.
But the feminist group should stand up.
Pew Research poll. I'll pull it. I mean, honest to God, I saw it as I walked out the door.
They might be lower than they are with men, but there are a lot of women that are big Sarah Palin fans. So, I mean, I'm just saying, if I was as vocal about Hillary or Chris Ferraro or any Pelosi for that matter, all these, you know, I'd be nothing but a sexist pig and all these.
Which you are.
Well, but I'm fine. I'm secure with
whatever.
But, you know, I don't know.
You're not a Pelosi fan, I'm guessing.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
I couldn't imagine.
I mean, good.
Well, there's plenty of hatred there about those,
too. Yeah, but it's not all about.
Because they don't insert themselves into the situation and pose. I mean, okay, this is actually one of the things that I do like about her is that she is a very attractive woman, and she doesn't put on a pantsuit, cut all her hair off, and try to look like a dude like most women who are in politics. You know what I mean? Because I don't think it's mutually exclusive. You actually can be attractive and stand up and say an intelligent something and have somebody vote for you.
Okay, you know,
but we don't really want to see Hillary in a dress, though, do we really?
No, she's got horrible legs. She should never wear a dress. Yeah, but
she does wear a dress, doesn't she, sometimes, Hillary?
Only the crocheted kind.
What about Janet Napolitano? Does she ever wear a dress?
She wears a skirt suit occasionally.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
She wears something from the Jenna Reno
But they
collection.
don't over-feminize. You know what I mean? It's almost like they don't want to.
Is there a Jenna Reno collection?
Sure. It was big in Waco.
That's horrible.
She was very nice. I did get to work with her a lot. She was very nice. I think she did a pretty good job.
Tina Fey totally caught it. And ran. But, you know, she never said, I can see Russia from my porch.
No, but that was really funny.
Exactly. But that's
my
point.
There are people
that think that, though.
George Bush never said strategery, but What's-His-Name on Saturday Night Live did, too.
But there are people that think she said that.
Yeah.
Once
you get and once you get caught in that, how about Gerald Ford and Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
Gerald Ford was without question the best athlete. We've had,
and they always showed him falling down and hitting his head.
Everyone thinks he's a big klutz.
Yeah.
Because he tripped like one time. Well, if the camera, have you tripped in the last 5 years?
He hit his head on the roof, gotten out of the helicopter that one time.
I can't remember where I was now. There was like it was a school. Yeah, I was out in a school on the west side. And I was concentrating on, because I was just going to have to talk to a big group there. And they gave me the directions. And so I'm looking down. And I walked, I'm like, bang! Right into this gigantic metal umbrella that was coming out of a table. And anyone watching had to think, what an idiot.
I've got that on YouTube.
Yeah. So if I had a camera on me, that would have been shown 10,000 times. And you see that two or three times, they go, Woods is, he's a doofus. Yeah, something's wrong with that guy. So that's what happened to Gerald Ford. And then, that's okay. Except then, if somebody picks it up on Saturday Night Live, and that's all they do, the meatheads around the world think that's how you are. And the problem with Palin was, for her, it was very funny, it was good bit and all that, but she had a credibility problem anyway, and this just destroyed it.
The biggest thing I hate about politics is hypocrisy for both sides. And you know what? When these down south Republican, family first Christian guys get caught in
on the Appalachian Trail,
yeah, or with a wide stance in the bathroom in the Minneapolis, I'm the first guy to rail on that.
Yeah.
However, I just don't
wide stance right now.
I just don't.
I like just like the phrase wide stance.
I don't think that it's ever the same on the other side. And that's just what pisses me off always. Mm-hmm. We all have seen the George Bush thing when he was over in China or Japan and he went to pull on the door that was locked.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
And he all of a sudden doesn't know what to do. Well, you can't tell a door's locked until you pull on it, right?
Right.
So then he was in this, because he was not the smoothest guy. Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden he's in this awkward stance.
There's a metaphor there, though. That's the problem.
However,
George Bush
you
pulling
can
an
see,
unlocked door and not realizing what he was doing.
Right. However, if you want to see it, you can see Obama at the White House trying to walk through what he thought was a door, and it was a window. And
really?
And he's over there at this big pane door looking for the doorknob and trying to – and it's hilarious if you want that to be your point of reference.
No, that would be funny.
But you'd never see it. But we've seen that Bush thing pulling on a locked door. Letterman showed it every night. Aha, he's a
but because he had already done 800 bonehead things, probably. So.
But like I said, you weren't aware until 20 minutes ago about the Obama saying he had campaigned in 57 states.
No, I wasn't.
But my point is, because you never see it because they don't
want
you to see
that. He doesn't
tend
to say stupid stuff, so I guess people don't throw
but
it
see,
out
I
there.
I think he does. Because it's my point of view.
Yeah.
When he says to Joe the plumber, I think when you spread the wealth, it works better for everybody. And then they have to shred Joe the plumber and investigate him because he was asking an innocent question and Obama gave a bad answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, but I think the whole Sarah Palin thing came from the fact that she did actually say, talk about, you know, we are Alaska's really close to Russia. So therefore, I have this like
foreign policy experience. Right. That was a huge mistake.
I don't think she was saying, I grew up close to Canada. I don't speak French.
I don't think she was saying I have foreign policy experience because that, she was saying we have to be careful about our not pissing off our neighbors.
It was in a debate, wasn't it? I can't remember exactly, but I do remember that was the implication anyway.
Well, she also said, for example, that she had experience because the governor is in charge of the National Guard. I mean, and, you know, part of that was the McCain campaign feeding her those lines, too. And the reality is when you pick a governor, I don't care who it is, if it's Ronald Reagan or George Bush or Bill Clinton, they have no foreign
policy
experience.
You sacrifice that card.
Yeah,
that's right. That was their fault. That was a bad call.
That doesn't mean that they shouldn't be president or couldn't be president. Clinton did very well in most people's estimation, and Reagan did very well. A lot of governors do well. But don't act like you have foreign policy experience when you don't.
Right.
I just think that like when they made a big deal when Charlie Gibson with his glasses down on the tip of his nose asked her about the Bush doctrine, and she stumbled on that.
Right.
That's because there were like three different. There was
no
Bush
there was
doctrine.
No. That was a cheap shot.
And
that was typical.
And for him to be this condescending.
Charlie.
And then when he has Obama on. You know, he lobs him these softball questions, and it's like,
yeah,
really?
but you know, the reality is, look, I'm with Kerry on this. I mean, Palin was not qualified to be president of the United States. You couldn't even make that argument. Believe me, I started as a public defender. I made some of the worst, most unbelievable arguments because Joe Schmuck, the defendant there, this was his story. So I had to tell his story for him. And they were so frigging stupid. And I ran with those for weeks. I couldn't tell someone with a straight face that Sarah Palin was qualified to be president of the United States. It was a disqualifying thing.
Yeah.
She's not. God forbid she was president of the United States. I can't even imagine.
But she wasn't
that.
Running for president of the United States.
Yeah but you know what? If you throw somebody up there who isn't qualified, I mean,
that's really all you got to look at is, I mean, they could become president
like
that. See, I feel that way about Biden.
Well, Biden would be fine.
It wouldn't be a train wreck.
My opinion. I disagree. I think Biden would be fine. He's not my first choice, but he's okay. You know, just like, you know, take all the vice presidents pretty much. They're like, they're okay.
They do less harm.
We don't want them.
Right, no.
But if they happen to get stuck in there, they'd be okay. Oh, we'd get rid of them.
I'm sure not.
She would not be okay.
I'm sure not endorsing her or didn't endorse her as the... And I wouldn't support her right now. If she was a Republican candidate, it would not be pretty.
If she runs for president, that'll be unbelievable. She's a populist. They have Huckabee out there. Now, I'm not so sure Huckabee's qualified to be president either, but if you want to go with some sort of populist in the Republican Party, you know, he made a pretty interesting showing last time. He acquitted himself well.
He's okay.
They ought to get behind him, I think. I just don't get the Sarah Palin thing, but... I don't know. I guess we'll see. That's the Republican Party here, you know. It's crazy. And again, as governor, she did a lot of good things. As governor of Alaska, great. I thought that was great. She was a maverick up there. But damn, that was a big leap.
Wow.
You know, that was
I remember talking to one of the McCain guys right after she was picked, and I said, so what was the train of thought there? And they said, well, we think she's going to get a lot of the Hillary supporters.
Oh, I know. A lot of them actually believe that.
I said, don't sell us that short. Really?
Well, they did.
Wow.
They did. I mean, the idea that these hardcore Hillary supporters would vote for Sarah Palin because
she's
a
woman
just shows a major disconnect.
Right.
This is filed under we don't get it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that is not possible. You know how many she got? I'd say zero.
None.
It's a big country.
Not one. Actually,
not
I can't
one.
Think of two more polarized candidates.
Well, it's craziness.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I don't know. I agree with you, though. I'm telling you, I know that for a fact. A lot of them thought there'd be a crossover there.
I heard.
Certainly initially. Then they kind of wised up and went, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. All right. Well, go out and read that book. If you want to read a good book.
Yeah.
I just started reading it, and Bill Simmons' basketball book has just come out, and it is the guide to everything on basketball. It's a definitive book on basketball, and he talks about everything you'd ever want to know about NBA basketball is in there. You would find it very interesting.
Are you sure?
It goes back. Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't read all the Steve Nash stuff. I went and read Charles' stuff. He thinks Charles is the greatest personality in the history of the NBA. Number one. Who would you want to have as a teammate the most? He picked Charles. Most fun guy. And so that was cool.
That's what
he went on. And of course, a great player and all that. But comparing him to other players, you know, it's interesting just to watch it. He picked one franchise. He said, I'm not going to get into the what if, why did this team do this, what if they would have done that, because sports, you know, some things work out, some things don't. But he said, having said that, I've got to dedicate one section to the biggest botched job in the history of NBA basketball. And he says, Phoenix Suns,
no
2004
way.
To 2008, their moves, and he details in great detail the moves the Suns made to take a team that should have been set for this entire decade, or for a decade, he thought, or until Steve Nash breaks down, and even longer, because Joe Johnson would have been there to replace Nash, and how they gave it away for virtually nothing. Puts most of the blame on Sarver, but somewhat Brian Colangelo, I have to say.
Wow.
He's very critical, so you guys have to read that. It's
by the way, is anybody playing better than Nash right now?
Man, fantastic.
Well, yeah, the other 8-2 team in the league, isn't it Atlanta right now?
Yeah.
Isn't it Joe Johnson?
Yeah, we're
9-2.
Joe Johnson.
Yeah, we are. You know, we ended up spending more on or about the same on Diaw and Banks as we would have with Joe Johnson. It's just it really makes you want to cry.
You see, Raja's going to Golden State.
Raja sucks.
I know.
Diaw sucks.
But I mean, it's just
Marcus friggin' Banks. I mean, honestly, and we had Joe Johnson. That's what he's saying. So you had Amari, you had Marion, you had Nash, and you had Joe Johnson. You had four. Build around them with cast-offs, some veterans.
The guy with the one
whatever
leg.
Picks you got. Whatever you got.
Right.
Doesn't really matter. You are set now for the next 10 years. You cannot blow this. It's not possible. And then he details how we blew it. And it's sad. And then at the end of the funny line is at the end of the little section, it says, okay, Phoenix fans, now go light yourself on fire. because that's where we're at.
Wow.
It's sad. Now, having said
Or Robert Horry, light him on fire.
Yeah, either way.
I'm stunned with the Sun's success. I went last night, and that was tough. I mean, we pulled it out at the last second. But, yeah, Steve Nash playing.
Nash great. Looks so light on his feet. He had a weight problem last year. He had 350 pounds clogging the lane. Talk about your weight loss.
Don't talk about weight.
Have you lost weight?
Scary's
yeah, 350. Weight. Yeah, I'm Scott.
You've lost. You seriously, you look like you've lost
a
lot of weight.
At least a quarter of a pound.
You look like you really
hey,
lost
let's
weight.
Hey, let's hit Carrie up with a couple of questions she missed.
Okay,
you're
tell her.
Yes, flitting
it's
around.
Not really
let's do it.
Flitting.
Let's do it. Let's
I'm
end
dieting.
The show with some Carrie questions.
2 weeks ago, the question was, if you had to leave the United States, and you can't go to Canada or Mexico, where would you go live the rest of your life?
Oh, live?
Yes.
France.
Wow.
Now, I'm assuming you're taking your family and everybody would assume.
No, I'm going all by myself. Yeah. Bye.
Should have been more specific.
That explains her leftist views.
And last week's question was, you've just cast yourself in a movie.
Okay.
You can pick the director.
Florence Henderson. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. She has a certain Wessonality about her. And you can pick the director and the three stars you want in the movie with you.
Wow.
Who's going to direct the movie and who are you starring with?
God, directors I'm really bad at.
And by the way, Pee Wee Herman is off limits for you.
And John Holmes is off too.
Stop it. That's rude. Do those
by
kind
the way,
of movies.
Schindler, by the way, Schindler's Fist. Is a,
oh, is that out now?
It's a. It's it got two thumbs way up. Okay, so who's your director? Did we lose her on that one?
Yeah, yes. Schindler's Fist.
Okay.
We can edit that out.
First star is Schindler.
Stop it.
Okay. No,
that's
we need
really
your director
hard.
And three stars.
That's what they said in Schindler's Fist. This is really hard.
God.
While you're thinking, by the way, thanks for fixing my mic. I don't come home with carpal tunnel now.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
So Grant's coming to
this
the movie.
Might, right. This might have to be a kind of a chick flick. Because that's what I'm coming up with. I'm coming up with a bunch of women.
Wow, wow.
Come on, Clausen didn't take this long.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's interesting. Back in the 70s, I was in a movie. It was about the Detroit Lions and what a horrible franchise those were.
By the way, I just, while you're thinking. Yeah. By the way, while you're thinking, I just heard a guy on the
Seth
radio.
Seth is dying here.
I just heard a guy on the radio talking about what a debacle light rail is.
Oh, really? Well, you got to get him down here.
Did
Steve.
If you... Break it down.
You know, what's really interesting, though. I don't think you're listening.
If you break it down, the finances of light rail, it's just ridiculous.
Is it?
Not necessarily this one in Phoenix, the one up in
general,
Seattle.
Yeah.
It's like...
they knew that.
It's like $150 to take it for taxpayer subsidies to take a 20-minute ride. It breaks down to like $150 a pop.
I did go on it once. I liked it.
Yeah.
Once.
Penelope Cruz.
As your director?
No, I'm still on the actor. I had three, right?
Right.
Three stars.
Meryl Streep, Penelope Cruz.
And we have to have a quick little
what's going on?
Plot right off the bat. I was 5 seconds in that. Yeah, go ahead.
Schindler's Fist?
No, not
I'm
that
not
one.
Doing that one.
Again.
Grant's directing.
Grant's movie was...
I can't remember.
He had... You had Meryl Streep and Scarlett Johansson Chris Christopherson. And Chris Christopherson gets killed off.
Early.
And so it's a threesome with Grant and Meryl.
Father, daughter. It's a father-daughter strange thing. I'm in love with both of them.
Uh-huh.
We have this incredible torrid affair, each of us separately, the two couples, me and Scarlett, me and Meryl. And then, we have to figure out how it all ends.
And then he mysteriously dies as Grant. Hit him upside the head with an ice pick.
Oh, Chris died, yeah.
Yeah, Chris
so
died.
I have to be with both of them.
I need a funny guy.
Penelope Cruz and who? Meryl
Streep.
Wow, what a bizarre...
I wasn't thinking of a story. I was just thinking of actors that I like.
I know.
I need the hot dude.
What did you like in... what did you like Penelope Cruz in?
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh, okay.
That...
Well, then there's
your
director.
I know Scarlett could come.
Woody Allen.
There's your director.
Woody Allen could direct you.
I don't know if he gets me.
Wow.
And yeah, Javier really, Bardem too would not be a bad call.
He rarely
either.
Brings you
so
up in interviews.
Cute. I gotta get that kind of man of color in there.
Okay,
I'll go
okay.
with him.
All right. Yeah. That's a good movie.
That's
maybe
good.
Could be good.
Right,
and this will be shot in Paris. Your
I
new
home. I have to go to Spain for that one.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's a very
or Italy. I mean, it's a
there,
you know, it's a romance languages kind of deal going on.
Right.
Might even be
movie.
In Italian.
I think that I'm seeing Camel View for this one.
It's fine.
Don't you think?
Could be the name of it.
Camel Toes?
Yeah.
I know you were thinking that.
Hopefully Meryl,
were you thinking that?
Hopefully Meryl
were.
Streep gets top billing for that one, not me. Okay, give me a little time.
All right, that's
All
it.
Right.
That's
wow.
fine. Okay.
That's 3 weeks worth of shows right there.
Yeah, that is. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that's a show?
That's a show.
All right.
Camel Toes. God.
Woo, Moose Knuckles. So Dave Attell was at the Improv this week.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest fucking.